Coming straight at you for episode 13, this is Just Okay Movies.
We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay
movie watchers.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Bat Card Customer Service Representative Biggie Size, and I'm here with...
Hockey blades in my boots, Guido.
Blades of steel, Wally.
An overacting Millpool. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Y'all had a good week?
Until about 2 hours ago, yeah.
Okay. Yes. Well, today we are going to be talking about a little film called Batman and Robin. Now, if memory serves, this is the fourth feature-length Batman film, with the first one being the Batman movie by Tim Burton. And no doubt the tone goes a little bit more campy compared to what we're used to today. Would that be a fair assessment?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if any one of our listeners has ever watched the original Batman films. Back in the, late 60s, early 70s with the Batman TV show, Batman was never serious. And I think it wasn't until the Tim Burton films when he started getting a little more serious. And even compared to the Nolan films, it was still very campy. But for the time, that was pretty serious stuff. So then when Schumacher gets a hold of it, it goes very campy, even compared to the more serious ones of the time. So that kind of gives you maybe a little better idea of what we're diving into. And I think this is normally considered to be the worst Batman film of all time. And
absolutely.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
I don't think it's really that bad. I actually kind of like it.
It is universally agreed to be one of the contenders.
Yeah,
one of the worst films ever made.
Biggie, you need to really rethink how you watch movies.
I think we've been making Biggie watch too many bad movies. So this is
no.
Like, this is like, oh, finally, this movie isn't as bad as Baby's Day Out.
Last one, he came in with his nose pinched, and he was like, "Ooh, P.U. Black Panther, not for me." And then it comes to Batman and Robin. He's like, "You know, I kind of liked it."
That's true.
That is true. I think that's the only movie I've ever called a turd so far in 13 episodes. So that's fair. You know, it's enjoyable. Movies are about having a good time, and it's so subjective. But no doubt, objectively, I can definitely see this one being the worst Batman film.
Actually, by that definition, I think it's, you know, at least somewhat redemptive, because movies are a distraction or an escape, and nothing screams escapism more than this weird fever dream of a movie.
No doubt. I've always heard the story of when they were making this film, you know, Schumacher was like, "It needs to be colorful. It needs to be like the comic book." And I would say that's not a bad idea. I think compared to what we're used to today, with the Zack Snyder Batman being just a little bit too dour, like kind of taking what Nolan did was very artistic and that very serious, very stoic Batman, but just taking that darkness a little too far. So it's kind of fun to see a more energetic, a little more fun superhero.
This wasn't done right. This is like a gay pride parade of Batman movies.
I just wonder where they were coming from with it. Like, the only really good, you know, fun, campy version of Batman ever was probably Adam West.
Sure, absolutely.
And I mean, they captured the kind of era of that early Batman fairly decently. But like, where were they going with this? I mean, it's very 90s. Maybe that's just part of the problem. I don't know, but where they were going with the goofiness, because they went on from the original vision and just kept amping it up from there.
Right.
The original Batman was like that, but dark.
Right. Well, I feel like it was, since the Tim Burton Batman films were so successful, and they were quite, I mean, it was a huge contrast compared to what people were used to. It is quite a bit darker, still not Nolan dark, but still quite a bit more serious. And with some campy stuff, especially Batman Returns had a few more kind of, I guess campy might not be the right word, silly, kind of more silly stuff we would consider for a Batman film. But then it's just like a cutoff. And I didn't even know that Schumacher did both Forever and Batman and Robin, but it makes a lot of sense. You started seeing a lot more like those weird ass shots and the strange...
Oh, that whole intro is gold.
Yeah, how the fucking movie opened.
Oh, yeah. It's such a meme. Over the goddamn, so good.
Oh, just watch, like, the first 2 minutes of the movie on YouTube.
Watch the first 10 minutes because it's just utter trash.
I love how long it takes their vehicles to, like, to get in their vehicles. Like,
Well, it's like Power Rangers, man.
They're for emergencies? Like, why is it encased and underground?
Yeah. So, yeah, and... Can we go step by step through the first part of the movie?
If you would like to, go right ahead, Guido.
Okay, just the first couple of scenes here.
Zoom shot on Batman's abs, then zoom shot on Batman's butt.
Mm-hmm. And then 20 zoom more shot zoom on their nipples.
Yeah, their nipples and all their equipment.
Mm-hmm. And then it shows them standing in front of the Batmobile, which looks... It looks like... You ever, you know, in your internet time, have you ever seen like those alien dildos and shit that you can get on sex shops?
Yeah. The furries are into that huge.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's all light up. They had to spend so much money on fucking cold cathode lights for this fucking movie.
It's very 90s though. It fits the motif of the time, which is all like spandex, fucking plastic and neon lights and shit.
These two trap doors open to reveal the Batmobile, and both sides of the trap door have bat insignias on them in neon lights.
Now, keep in mind, he had to buy, condition, and fashion these doors.
Yeah. He had to be like, you know, needs I really like this platform, really like it. Alfred did great job. It's just missing something. It's missing that little touch. What can we add?
Alfred, I need more neon. I need the Batcave.
But that's the part that's so good is like how
it's not good.
Great. Compared to Nolan, my biggest problem with Nolan was how boring the Batcave was. It was a cave and a computer. And like, that's not that much fun. I mean, it's functional, it makes sense, but it's not fun. This is fun. I want to see that bat car swirling around coming up and his motorcycle being hatched out of a casket looking thing with lights. It's great.
It's so impractical.
Oh, it's so impractical, but it's so much fun. Like, which one would you rather have? The boring ass Nolan cave under your house, or you want that?
But it's not Batman, man.
I was super into all the tech and everything when I was that age when this came out.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because this movie was made for kids. It was made to sell fucking toys.
Oh, and absolutely.
It worked.
That was great. Me too. I loved it.
So the first line of dialogue in the whole movie, after you get through 20 minutes of zoom in shots of George Clooney's butt and. Chris O'Donnell's butt is I want the Robin saying to Batman, he's like, I wish I had a car. Chicks dig the car. And then Batman's reply is, this is why Superman works alone.
Also, by the way, George Clooney.
All of the dialogue for the first like half hour are just one liners. Like no one says more than like two sentences at a time.
Absolutely.
They take off out of this fucking 18-mile long tunnel that they're driving through. And before they leave, Robin says to Alfred, he says, hey Alfred, don't wait up for us. And then Alfred says back to him, he says, okay, Robin, I'll cancel the pizzas. So they were gonna have a pizza party.
You know what else
they talked about it and planned it, and Alfred had to cancel the pizza party.
Somebody out there was on a typewriter or a computer with a script and literally typed the words, Alfred, I'll cancel the pizza party. This is good.
It was that was the sign watching it now that it was like, oh, okay, someone wrote this thinking kids like pizza and Alfred's going to cancel the pizza that's going to come because kids like pizza. That's okay. How I interpreted it.
And the kid's like, I can identify with this.
I think you're reading too much into it.
Maybe a little too much.
Well, what fucking purpose would it be to say
Alfred, of all people,
cancel the pizzas? I'll cancel the pizzas.
Alfred would never order pizza, man. No way.
I see where you're going with that. I see what you're saying. And I would agree to a point. I think the pizza part was definitely more relatable. Absolutely.
So while they're driving through this 560-mile long tunnel, Commissioner Gordon, who's it's like one of two scenes in the entire movie, he shows up on this little bat screen in the Batmobile, and he's like, "Hey, Batman, we got a new villain for you. His name is Mr. Freeze. He's at the museum." And then, but then Batman responds with like, "Oh, Mr. Freeze!" Like he knows who he is. He's like, "Oh, that Mr. Freeze. He's a troublemaker." But Commissioner Gordon just said that this is a new villain. None of this is every single line of dialogue made me furious because none of it makes sense.
I think you bring up a good point. And I've kind of, while watching it, tried to figure out if George Clooney was just being George Clooney or he just absolutely hated the role.
George Clooney is George Clooney in every movie George Clooney's ever been in. He's one take. That's him.
Right, and it's hard to judge, like, when he's really not giving a shit, which I feel like in certain scenes he was not giving a shit. But it's also hard to say because he's not the most charismatic actor. He can be, but it's very, very few roles. Like, I think the most charismatic I've ever seen him in was that Men Who Stare at Goats, where he kind of was not George Clooney in that, where everything else he's basically
the same. You're right. That was probably one of the more broader roles he's ever played.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it is. I agree. It's hard to tell if he was just being like a Mr. Freeze, like just saying it back to him, or he was just spouting a line just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
I don't remember that part specifically. I just want to go over. I made some notes. So Mr. Freeze's motivation was he wants to freeze Gotham so Gotham pays him ransom. So he can finish his research to bring his wife back to life, right?
Correct.
Sounds right.
Correct, yep.
So he wants billions of dollars. He says billions of dollars from Gotham to finish my research to save my wife. But
my wife? Also,
yeah, my wife.
He says it like that, too.
He's also, like, obviously invested millions of dollars into his whole empire to build this giant freeze ray and all this equipment. And his, like, squad of goons and his lair and everything.
Right, right.
His suit alone, which regulates his body temperature to below zero or whatever it is. If you remember an episode of The Simpsons where Milhouse becomes Fallout Boy, his parents go on a spending spree, and his mom buys a jacuzzi suit.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, she buys a jacuzzi suit. It's a joke. But if you can remember that, that's what his suit looks like.
It does. Oh, wow. You know, and just speaking more broadly about Mr. Freeze, too, he's one of my favorite Batman villains because he's a semi-sympathetic figure, and they turned him into a goddamn cartoon.
Yes, they did. And I think for the film, it fit. I think he did a really good job. For the style they were going for being very silly and a fun side of Batman, I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger did a good job. I enjoyed watching him on screen. And I actually,
he showed up and he pretended he was Arnold Schwarzenegger pretending to be Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, it was exactly.
He could have done the best job in the world. It still would have been wrong.
Yes, I can agree with that. But for the role, he did really good. For I don't know if another actor could have nailed that campy style that he was going for Mr. Freeze. It just felt like it really fit.
Oh, man, I could think of a lot of actors that could fill that role a lot better for Mr. Freeze.
Well, of course.
Name one.
Yeah. All right, let's hear one.
George Clooney?
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah, of course, but...
He would have been great.
I agree. For like a Nolan-esque film?
For fucking this weird-ass one where he's making jokes. Yeah.
No, Arnold Schwarzenegger's he's a big-ass guy. He's silly. Everything he says is so silly, but it kind of makes him lovable. And it fits with his character. We're supposed to feel a little bit of sympathy for this guy. And I feel like him being the way he is kind of helps with that while not taking away from him being kind of campy.
If you could pull the axe enough, I think Vin Diesel would have been a great Mr. Freeze.
Why isn't anyone fighting Biggie on this one?
I'm not. I don't agree with Biggie. I know.
I don't know. I thought he was fine. Like, yeah. In comparison to, I thought Uma Thurman was pretty bad in this.
I feel like she had the lines, and this is how we want you to be. And I feel like she hated it. But she just did it, and she did it to the nines, even though she probably loathed every second. And I got to give respect for that, because she was written horribly, even for this movie. I felt like it should have just been Mr. Freeze, and they should have just left her out completely, because she didn't really add much.
No, it went back and forth with, Robin falling for her under her spell, and like Batman was falling for her, and then Robin like being all angsty, and it was too much. There was so much going on in this fucking movie,
right?
And I didn't even think about it, but now that I think about it, Poison Ivy is the other sympathetic villain for me that I like a lot.
Sure.
In Batman, they ruined both in one film for me. Because they both are dealing with a lot of turmoil and pain, and finding a way of reconciling it turned them towards evil. And even for Mr. Freeze, it was more utilitarian, whereas Ivy's is more lashing out against the unfairness and injustice of what happened, with her. I don't know. It's so good. I guess I come from a much more serious place with Batman, so it's really hard for me to even kind of bring myself up to the level of where this film is to even discuss. But yeah,
isn't Ivy's plan later on in the movie to kill everyone on Earth? Like, yes. That's what she proposes, is to kill everyone except her and Mr. Freeze, or
right,
and Freeze is just goes along with it. He's like, yeah, that sounds good.
Which she would never have done. Which Mr. Freeze would never have agreed to.
Yes. Later in the film, we, and Mr. Freeze wasn't necessarily wanting to kill everyone. He just wanted to get his ransom. But when Poison Ivy decides to disconnect his wife's power to her freezing apparatus that's keeping her alive and blaming on Batman, then he wants to turn around and kill everyone. So it's already clear that the movie doesn't want you to completely hate Mr. Freeze. They want you to be very sympathetic to him. And I don't know. It works for what it's supposed to accomplish. So ultimately, you're kind of turn around and just hating Uma Thurman. And that just kind of... I feel like I'm being pulled around a little too much, especially for a film that's trying to take itself not serious at all. That just kind of takes you out a little bit. So what are your thoughts on the sets? I love seeing the miniatures. I love miniatures. It's so wonderful. Especially seeing the buildings blow up. We got to see a couple of those. No, it's a lot of fun. Especially love seeing little miniature cars getting shot at. It's just...
I don't know.
It's a blast.
Everything in this movie looked like a fucking, like a 2-bit stunt show. Everybody was on wires. You could tell they were on wires.
Right.
The sets looked cheap.
They used the same set. I swear, they had a warehouse, and they just did it for the where Poison Ivy shows up for that benefit thing where they're selling off the women, or whatever that is. And then again for Mr. Freeze's hideout. I swear that's the same building.
I thought the sets looked okay. Like, considering the time, I thought the effects and even the computer effects looked decent.
Yeah, they're not bad.
I didn't have any problem with that. And the sets, I agree, they were like, you know, lively, and they did look kind of cheap, but it was part of the aesthetic of this like campy, silly film.
Right, right. And the suits look good. I don't understand the problem with the nipples. I think they looked fine. I mean, they weren't like pancake nipples or anything. They were just tiny little pecs, you know, and it looks good.
Ben Kingsley. It looks fine. Mr. Freeze.
Yes, Ben Kingsley would be an excellent Mr. Freeze. If he's in a role and he cared about what he was doing, he could do a good job. I kind of got turned off with Ben Kingsley from, what's that movie, Ender's Game? I hated him in that. He just...
The problem is that he's the perfect B actor, though, for that goofy kind of but serious thing.
Definitely, definitely. If he's all
that
in
dude,
for it...
That dude cashes checks like Nick Cage. He doesn't care what he's in or what he's
right.
doing.
Right. And he has an Academy Award, doesn't he? I think he won one. I don't even know what film it was for.
Fuck, I can't think of the name either, but I know what you're talking about.
Right, right.
The sand one?
The sand one?
He's in some sand movie, right?
Sand movie. Sandlot?
God. It's what called it? Like...
House of Sand and Fog? Is that it? I don't know.
I don't know.
Batman and Robin.
The Batman and Robin. Let's.
I want to. Biggie's reference at the start I loved because Batman literally has a credit card in this movie that just says Batman on it and it says good through forever. And he pulls it out at the ladies' auction when they're bidding on Poison Ivy to like one up Robin. He's like, oh yeah, well I have this.
Oh jeez.
In the tagline, I just felt like he wanted to kill himself. He's like, never leave your cave without it. Like, oh my god. Yeah. Ow. Oh my goodness. So yeah, Alicia Silverstone. Uh-huh. I feel like she was the worst part of the whole fucking movie. Who the fuck is she? Was she like a...
She's Batgirl.
Did she do anything else?
She was in Clueless, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's in Clueless. Right. Her career nosedived like almost immediately after this.
So did Chris O'Donnell's.
Did he ever really have a career outside of Batman?
Yeah, he was in some Rudy? Romantic comedies and shit. No, Rudy's
who's
the
Rudy?
Hobbit guy.
Hobbit guy.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Sean Astin. Gamgee.
That's him.
Sean That's Astin. Him. Yeah, everything sucked. I hated it. I hated it.
It was not that bad. Oh, I think it's been overdone how this movie's bad. I will say, I mean, we have stiff competition if you're looking at current Batman films. It's tough because you think Batman, I automatically think Nolan, and you can't top the Nolan Batman. It's the best, bar none, in my opinion. And going back and watching these, I have
this
to
is
say,
trash before the Nolan movies were ever made.
It wasn't that bad, was it? It was very, very bad.
Not only is it stylistically bad, tonally bad, bad script, bad cinematography, bad set design, bad costumes, it was also a bad interpretation of Batman, which is the one thing it couldn't fuck up, and it did.
But I don't, like, going back and watching Batman and Batman Returns, those are normally lauded as being good films. I don't see a humongous... Now, no doubt, there's a difference.
It was a campy interpretation. Keep in mind, the only successful interpretation of comic books in film at this time was like this sort of pseudo-dark, like Dick Tracy-esque type shit.
Right,
And then on top of it, they had Tim Burton. So combined, it was campy and dark, but it had its own thing.
Right.
Like, the Joker, excellent interpretation of the Joker for the time and the tone they were trying to do with the director.
Right, right.
But there is no tone here with Batman and Robin. It's just this giant 90s action romp designed to sell Happy Meal toys.
But, I mean, he does Batman things. You know, he's going after the villains. He's got all the gadgets. I mean, all the stuff you want from Batman's there. Granted, the execution's not fantastic. I totally agree with that. Absolutely. But I guess I just don't see all the as much hate as it gets. I just find it to be more enjoyable than that. I mean, I have more hate towards Ben Affleck's Batman.
Yeah, but I could rent a hotel room and piss on some hookers and say I'm Trump by that definition. I mean, he could go through the motions. That doesn't mean I'm, you know, that person.
Yeah,
I agree. I totally agree with that. No doubt this film could have been much, much better. And I felt like just at its core, with as far as it took its campiness and...
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you this. It's a Batman movie. I will concede that it is a, I will concede that it is a movie about the character known as Batman.
Yeah, Batman's in it.
I will say, though, I love Alfred. He was always my favorite part of those films, from the Tim Burton ones onward. And even Michael, what's his name? Michael Caine. You know, he did a pretty decent job, but you can't beat that old Alfred. He's a great interpretation of him.
The whole side story with him, like, dying in this movie, almost dying, it was so strange because...
Very.
It was like... I don't know what they're using it for, to make you feel bad for him, because he just gets cured at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Like,
everything wraps up all
by Mr. Freeze.
Nicely. Yeah, by Mr. Freeze, who has the cure for Alfred's disease in his suit at all times.
Yeah. They have this whole heartwarming moment where Batman kneels over, in agony, Mr. Freeze, because he's indirect sunlight or something, I don't know. And he's like, you know, Mr. Freeze, be the man that your wife would want you to be, and help me help my friend, and then I'll help you fix your wife or whatever. And it's like Mr. Freeze has this redemptive moment where he gives Batman the cure to Alfred's disease, which he had on him. And then it almost smash cuts to Poison Ivy in her jail cell in Arkham Asylum, doing he loves me, he loves me not on a flower. She's all crazy. And who should be her cellmate but a very vindictive Mr. Freeze, who's like, I'm gonna make your life a living hell.
Wow, that was a really good Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was.
That was great.
And he's just like, he's reverted back to his normal, he's in his suit, in her cell, and he's just like, you're going to have a bad time with me. Like, fuck all that nice stuff that just happened with Batman. It's all out the window because I'm an asshole again.
But to be fair, she did try to kill his wife and then use him to kill millions of people. So, I mean, I could see him do, I was more distracted with why did he have his suit. That didn't seem very practical considering it has to run on diamonds.
But also, like, his final scene, his whole motivation is to help his wife. But right. His final scene is him getting revenge on Poison Ivy. Like, if he's being redeemed at the end, shouldn't his final scene be like, oh, he's continuing his research to help his wife now or something?
Yeah,
I would agree with that. Yeah, it would have been neat to see something like that as kind of an end cap for his character. Yeah, totally.
And the whole, like, there's the Schwarzenegger thing, and Mr. Freeze is a intelligent, cerebral physician scientist who is racked with grief and has only one singular goal and had a complex plot wrapped around achieving those ends, and they reduce him to this brutish figure.
Yeah.
With a laser gun.
With punny catch lines.
They took one of the most complex villains in Batman lore and reduced him to a grunting idiot. And I don't know.
That's fair. No, that's definitely fair. Mr. Freeze's storyline, from what I've known of it, is definitely very interesting. Really, all the Batman villains are very interesting in their own right. And they have some really neat stories. Well, all exactly. Right, guys. Yeah, they do. No, I totally agree there. I guess a little more. I meant to mention this. The Bane fight. Did you all notice a similarity between the Bane fight here and the one that happened in The Dark Knight Rises, where they're fighting on like a metal bridge? It looked really similar on both films.
No, I didn't notice that.
I missed that.
I just wondered if Nolan just... I highly doubt he did this, but yeah, it's just a strange coincidence that they're both fighting like these meta... I feel Nolan like Nolan, the he had bring a pen and paper.
Bring up Batman and Robin, please.
I need to watch that again. Get some inspiration. No, there's a part where they're fighting on like a metal bridge, like over a little pit, and it happens in both films. And naturally, the Nolan one's way, way better. But I just kind of wondered if maybe he just did that as a little, look what I did. I just did it a lot better.
There's one more scene that really, really got to me, and I'm gonna bring it up right now. We're introduced to Alicia Silverstone and her character, and she comes to visit her Uncle Albert, because I guess she knows he's dying or something. I don't know. I tuned out.
Right.
Anyways, she's there to visit him and whatnot. And she says that she's going to school for like computer science, and she claims to be a big hacker and stuff. And then later on in the movie, she's tasked with hacking, breaking into Alfred's computer. And a well-studied college computer scientist that's a famed hacker, you know, the method that she goes with hacking into Alfred's account is to just pull random things off of her immediate surroundings and type them into the password field. She's like, what could it be? And she looks around and sees a picture of a lady. She's like, Martha. Types in Martha into the password field, which isn't hidden at all either, and hits enter, and it's a computer voice is like, access denied. And she looks around again, and then there's a thing that says love Peg on a thing, types in Peg. And then the most sexy computer voice I've ever heard is like, access granted. And I was just like, why? Why would they do this? Why? Yeah. It's the little things for me, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff like that. And at the end of the movie, she hacks, in the span of about 10 seconds, she hacks into like satellites and reroutes all the satellites to melt Gotham City.
Yeah.
Correct. Mr. Freeze at this point has frozen Gotham City, and they have 11 minutes to de-thaw everyone or they'll die. So they're racing the clock to be able to find a way to unfreeze everyone. So they use these mirrors that are on satellites that they have in orbit to direct the sun onto Gotham to melt everyone. And that's the big climax of the whole movie.
Yeah. Which, like, how does she know how to do that? And how did she do it so quickly?
Because she's a fucking computer scientist. I know, hacker, she's dude.
Taking... No, she's not a computer scientist. She's taking courses in computer science, and she dropped out of college after, like, 1 or 2 years.
Did y'all find the motorcycle part a little strange with her? I don't know if that is that part of the comic that she rode motorcycles or anything like that. Like, you would think if they were going to play up the she's really, really smart thing, she would be like hacking into banks and draining money into a secret account or something. You know, something along the lines of that, whereas she rides a motorcycle around for cash. Just, I don't know. It's not really, didn't seem too congruent with her character. I don't know. Is anyone familiar with the comics
no,
at all?
In the comics, she's fucking... She's Commissioner Gordon's daughter, who's paralyzed.
Yeah.
But she's not paralyzed at first. It comes later, because then that's when she takes on her name Oracle. When she was Batgirl before she gets captured by the Joker and he, like, breaks her spine or something like that. And then that's when she kind of takes on that persona of Oracle to help Batman with the tech stuff.
But she did drive a motorcycle around. Yeah, I guess. Oh, okay. There's been a lot of different Batgirls.
Right, right. And I was about to say, I'm sure there's several different storylines over the years. I was just curious about that part because they really played up this her stealing the motorcycle to go race for cash.
But yeah, no, just the whole movie was an utter failure on any sort of comic book representation of any of the characters.
Aw. Jeez. Well,
I agree.
Well, I guess we'll go ahead and jump into final thoughts. Is there anything anyone else wants to share while we wrap up this this film? Wally, yeah. Any final thoughts?
Oh, go ahead, Wally.
Oh, it's trash.
Okay. Millpool, final thoughts?
Looking over my notes.
Oh, yeah. Give us some more of your notes. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
No, we covered everything pretty much.
Okay, cool.
Just, yeah, it's all one-liners, most of the movie. Most of the things that Poison Ivy says are, like, sexual innuendo one-liners.
Right. And
the back half of the movie, that's all of her dialogue, pretty much.
Absolutely.
I have something to say, and I feel like we should have front-loaded this.
Okay.
Because if people that listen to this monthly would recall, this movie was selected by one Michael Nasty Nounheim.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't say.
Who isn't fucking here right now?
I know. He got us. He pranked us. It's all his prank.
Well.
So he just picks out a fucking dumpster fire of a movie and then doesn't watch it or show up to talk about it. So I guess my final thought is fuck Nasty.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck Nasty.
Fuck Nasty.
Yeah, fuck Nasty, but I did really like this movie a lot. I had a fun time.
Of course you did.
I don't know if I just have a glutton for punishment when it comes to films. Just want to enjoy myself. I just want to have a fun time, and I just felt like this film was just a fun, refreshing take on superheroes. On a iconic superhero, and we're so used to being so dour and life, you know, everyone's lives being on the line and it being depressing. And this is actually a lot of fun to watch and kind of enjoy the campiness of it. So I recommend it. Watch it. Have a fun time. Don't spend money on it. I'm sure you'll have a great time. Well, all right, guys. Well, we went ahead and made a executive decision. Normally, we spin the wheel to find out what our next film is going to be, but since Millpool's pick of Ready Player One actually comes out later this week, that's going to be our next film. So definitely tune back in. We'll probably be sometime mid-month in April, and we will chat about Ready Player One. So now we need to rank Batman and Robin on our list of top films. So, going down the list, starting from the top, we have number one, RoboCop. Number two, Doctor Strange. Number three, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Number four, Logan. Number five, Moana. Number six, Black Panther. Number seven, Rogue One. Number eight, Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Number nine, Baby's Day Out. Number 10, Dungeons and Dragons. And number 11, Battlefield Earth. So, I will start with you, Wally. Where would you rank Batman and Robin in with these films?
I'm debating about whether or not it's better or worse than Battlefield Earth. I'm going to say it's the worst of all of them.
So you're putting it on the bottom?
Very bottom, yeah.
Wow, okay. All right, so we got one for the very bottom. All right, Millpool, what do you think?
I don't think it's worse than Battlefield Earth. I'd probably put it right above Baby's Day Out and below Munchausen.
Okay.
So at number nine.
Okay, okay. So Millpool's saying right below Baron Munchausen, right above Baby's Day Out. All right, Guido, what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's not worse than Battlefield Earth. And it's not worse than Dungeons and Dragons.
Here's the thing. I base this on whether or not I'd ever want to see it again.
And that's fair. That's definitely
yeah,
a fair
Yeah, but I don't
want to
see any of these again.
Well, yeah.
Baby's Day Out is trash, but so is this. I'm struggling if I should put it before or after Baby's Day Out. I think before Baby's Day Out. Baby's Day Out was really bad.
Okay, so you're putting it where Millpool, right below yes. Bear Munchausen. I'm going to say the same thing. Definitely this film is way worse than Baron Munchausen. Way worse, and I love Baron Munchausen. But definitely I would watch it over Baby's Day Out. No doubt, every day of the week. All right, then. So, we now
Nasty,
have...
Nasty, what are your thoughts, Nasty?
Oh, he loves it.
Oh, okay.
His number one.
Above RoboCop. Well, sorry, Nasty. I'm afraid you lost out, buddy. But, hey, good pick, though. That was a lot of fun. All right, so our, we're putting it right below Adventures of Baron Munchausen, right above Baby's Day Out. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had a good time listening. I had a fun time watching and talking about it. And we will see you all next month. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Megan. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
What's next month's movie?